It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wardrobe.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Hello and welcome back to another Horror 101 show. This is Cash Wampum, your host. Did you happen to check your calendar recently? Did you see the date? Do you see what's coming around the corner? It's our favorite time of year around here. It's Halloween. Halloween. And in spirit of Halloween, I thought it might be a good idea to have a fun show. And I'm talking 1985 fun. Okay? Because if you're fans of this show, you know that our opinion is very strong opinion. It's that 1985 was the best fucking 80s year for horror, period. Period!
You know, he is insane.
Return of the Living Dead, Reanimator, Fright Night, Day of the Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Silver Bullet, Life Force, Argento's Phenomena, all 1985. So what do we have in store for you this evening? Well, let me ask you this. If I was to tell you Lamberto Bava, 1985, Italian, horror movies, what would you say to me? Would you say Tenebrae? No, it's 1982. Would you say opera? No! That's Dario Argento. You hear that sound? Seasoned horror fans know it well, and if you're one of them, you know exactly what's coming, and you're wringing your hands right now. On this 37th episode of Horror 101, we are pleased to showcase one of the funnest gore fests to ever come out of Europe. It's Lamberto Bava's Demons.
Believe me, we gotta stop the movie!
Joining me in tonight's lesson of terror for you, we have the world-famous Brian Stewart, my wife the lovely nude, and guess who else decided to show up?
The man is nefarious.
It's the most nefarious Paul B! And I'll let you in on this little tidbit. This show was almost the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Anybody says Jason X, I'll fucking murder them now.
Jason X.
Now! Jason X!
Was that the one that had Jonathan Pryce?
No, not the one that had Jonathan Pryce.
I thought he was in the one where he was in space.
No, that was Cronenberg.
Yeah, David Cronenberg's got a little...
Because I know Pryce did one of the major franchises, and it was a shitty...
No, Jonathan Pryce was originally, at one point, was one of a few people who were mentioned to play Freddy Krueger.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That would have been interesting.
I'll make you guys a deal. Humor me and do Demons. Watch it with me, and if it doesn't make for a good show, you don't like it, we'll do Nightmare on Elm Street tonight. If you guys got time. Nude?
Okay.
Are you hip?
Yeah.
I like Demons.
I think Demons will be a great show.
I'm just saying the only thing is, again, because we know that you're not exactly the biggest fan of gore.
You know what? When I was younger, I wasn't. You knew that.
Really. Yeah, this is a this is an 80s gore fest.
Italian.
Right. It was so produced by...
It's directed by Lamberto Bava.
Yeah, and it was produced by... Oh my god.
Argento,
yes.
Nude, are you going to be the Oracle?
Yes.
Consult the Oracle on Demons 1985, please.
And here's another film that the world famous Brian Stewart has never seen before. We're going to remedy that.
I honestly haven't seen it since it was first on VHS.
I admittedly haven't seen this movie in years, but it was one of the films that was so popular back in the 80s that it was a go-to. You know, if I was ever cruising the VHS section of horror and I was kind of, I don't know what to get, it would be like going for McDonald's if you're hungry, you know? This isn't necessarily the best thing, but it's going to do for now, and I know that I'm going to enjoy myself kind of deal. It was always a good go-to, like Night of the Demons or A Nightmare on Elm Street. It was a movie I knew I could throw in and it'd be 90 minutes well spent, even though I'd already seen it.
Like the 89 Batman film.
Sure.
Yeah.
The nightmarish quality of the film, I can't think of anything else that gives you this kind of a nightmarish, dreamlike atmosphere. And the way it comes on, like, it starts off just like any other day, and by the end of the film,
right,
you're in the middle of a nightmare. And you're like, how the fuck did we get here?
So it doesn't flow logically, you know, according
to...
It flows according to linking from one detail to the next.
That's right. And, like...
Its own reality.
Exactly.
Its own reality.
You're wondering, how is this possible?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is really explained. It's just right. given to you.
Demon starts off with a girl named Cheryl on the subway. You get the feeling we're in the middle of 80s punk culture time. Pink hair and chains everywhere. Soon this girl is confronted by a creepy mute donning a metallic mask on half of his face. You think this guy's out for blood? Certainly set up that way. But in reality, all he wants to do is give her a free ticket to a movie, and that's it. A bunch of people who don't know each other, picked seemingly at random, meet up at the cinema called the Metropole to watch a free movie. No one knows what the movie is or what it's about. The only thing interesting is the motorbike in the lobby with a dark figure on it holding a katana blade, and hanging on this display is a mask that's eerily similar to the one the guy in the subway station had on.
Liz? Liz?
Yes, Werner?
Don't touch it.
Touch what?
This.
Too late. Some hooker's already fucking with it and putting it on and shit.
Hey! Well, how do I look?
Terrific.
Do you like it, Bobby, huh? Sexy, huh?
I know,
oh, just a second. I have
Hey,
thought.
Cut it, baby.
Oh. Ow. What was that?
Hey, you cut yourself.
Oh, shit.
That'll teach you to touch things.
The mask scratched her when she took it off. They're all fucked.
Hey, you don't think it's gonna be a horror movie, do you? You know, I just hate them. And I hate missing the start. Come on.
So you hate horror movies, do you? You're up for hard times.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
This is one of the things that still amazes me to this day about Demons. It's a European film, and usually the music from these movies are something from Goblin or Fritzi. Music you would never hear in North America outside of the movies, and here we had, prominently, throughout the film, music from Billy Idol, Rick Springfield, and Motley fucking Crue.
I would love to have seen this in a theater. That would have been the ideal place, I think. You and I picked up the same transition shot, which was brilliant, when the usher's going around with the flashlight, and as she moves the flashlight, you can see a beam of light kind of dart across the ground, but you're no longer looking. You're expecting to see a shot of what the usher's looking at, but you're not. You're back in the movie, and it's the headlight of the car going by.
Yes.
And it was so perfectly timed that it brought you into that movie. And it tied those two worlds together. And I was saying, while we were watching it, one of the things I really appreciate is that when they showed the movie on screen, we were in that movie like it was its own reality. We weren't watching it projected on the silver screen.
No, it was full production.
Yeah. And I thought that worked really well, jumping back and forth. But that one shot tying it all together gave you the sense that everything in that world was about to bleed through into ours.
Trick or treat.
Don't do that.
How do I look?
Whoever wears it becomes a demon.
How do you know?
It says here, whoever wears it becomes a demon. And an instrument of evil.
Yeah, sure.
They will make cemeteries, their cathedrals, and tombs, your cities. Hey, your cheek's bleeding. You must have scratched yourself when you took the mask off.
By this time you're wondering, who put that mask there? Who made this fucking movie? Who set this all up? You know what the beauty about demons is? It's never explained to you. It's terror for terror's sake. All in the name of chaos. That is great horror.
Tony?
Yeah?
You see that? The same thing happened in the movie.
That's a bunch of shit, baby.
Yeah, it's a bunch of shit. Well, where's your precious Rosemary right now?
What the hell happened to Rosemary?
Maybe I should go check and see if she's okay.
As the guy with the scratch in the film becomes this bloodthirsty killer on screen, Rosemary deteriorates into this ungodly thing in the bathroom. Leave it to a prostitute to be the catalyst of this infectious evil. These free ticket holders are about to pay the price of admission.
Rosemary! Rosemary!
When the second hooker gets scratched, she gets away initially.
Yeah.
She's running through. Nobody knows she's in danger. She's running through, and then she goes behind that one door.
Yeah.
And the camera's showing what she's showing as she's hiding. Rosemary comes up, stops dead right there, looks around, and then looks right at you.
Yeah.
You know, for a good couple of seconds. And you're thinking, she's fucking made. She's in for it. And then she just turns and runs off.
Runs away. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that was an intended shot for people actually in the movie theater watching it. Because if it looked right at the camera, that'd be like looking right at you sitting in the movie theater as then she runs off. It's like she's loose in the theater.
Those screams sound real.
Come on, it's the Dolby system.
I'm telling you, those screams sound real.
Will you get out of my way?
What's the matter with you?
Holy shit, she's a friend of mine. Hey, baby. What happened? Shit, baby, what happened? There's some kind of madman loose in here.
I'm sorry, it's my fault. I should have never suggested we come here. The movie is happening just like in the movie.
The movie in the movie, when all the shit starts hitting the fan in the movie we're watching, the demon actually looks camera on.
Right,
and he's got all, you know, shit pouring out of his face, and he's kind of looking camera on, he's licking his lips. And he's just looking at what's going on in the theater.
Yeah, he's raising his head and looking out as if, haha. And that's the first time you see him. Like, you see somebody killing the people in the movie.
Right.
But that's the first time you actually see the face of the demon in the movie is when the shit's hit the fan.
And he's looking at the theater.
Right.
Which would have been an awesome thing if you're actually in the theater watching.
Son of a bitch! Shit!
Hey, George, look at her fingernails!
Now everybody's going to have a nice front row seat for the horrible fate that awaits them.
And some of the effects, like the girl who, the hooker who busts through the screen and she starts transforming, the teeth work and shit was great, the fingernails was great, the makeup, the eyes were great, but then you had that whole headset with the fucking elf ears and the big ass tongue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm looking at that going, ooh. Like, if I was the director watching the dailies on that, I'd been like, oh, I don't know about that part but right there.
That
I
part
think I
was taken,
struck that.
That part was taken in the place of the movie, though. So that could have been the cheesy effects for that movie.
There's a bust of the girl
when she comes through
on
the
a profile.
Okay.
And her, remember her tongue came out like an aardvark?
I thought that
after
was
her teeth. After her teeth have transferred.
Oh, I thought that was the girl in the movie.
No,
on the
it was
screen.
In the. It was in the. Right before in the theater.
Right before, Buddy's like, "Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah,
what are you waiting for?
Get out! Everybody, get away! Get out! What are you waiting for? Run!"
It's so refreshing to watch normal people actually make the correct decisions in these movies. They go straight for the fucking exit. But that's the problem. There is no exit. An anguished mob literally claws their way through the front doors that they used to get into this building. And when those doors come down, they find nothing but solid concrete behind them. We are now officially trapped in a nightmare.
We're trapped in here!
I mean, I also like how nobody's just running around all willy-nilly, that there are people actually trying to formulate plans, trying to make sense of their situation, you know, with the barricades, trying to find an emergency exit. Obviously, this exit, they don't just sit there and try to, you know, wonder, oh, there's a brick wall here, there's a concrete wall, what do we do now? They don't waste time on getting frantic or being stupid. They're like, well, this is obviously not going to work. Let's find an emergency exit. Let's move on. Let's try barricading ourselves in. If we can't get out, then we can try to survive long enough for help to arrive. You know, everyone's doing what they can to survive.
It's the movie.
What about the movie?
I don't know how to explain it. It's just a feeling. The movie's to blame for all this.
She's right. She put on that mask and scratched herself. Get it? Because of that scratch, she became a demon. An instrument of evil. Like they said in the damn movie, you heard them.
Bobby Rhodes, the black guy there, what did you think? The dubbing. I mean, he was clearly dubbed.
That was some of the best dubbing in the whole movie, though. I mean, it was solid. You almost don't realize it's dubbed. If you had told me that, I would have thought he was the one actor who had his original voice.
The actor, Bobby Rhodes, he really... He accentuated his mouth so that it was easy to dub him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm sure, like, the dubbing department probably loved him.
It's not the movie. It's not the movie. It's a theater. It's this theater that kills. The whole place is cursed.
It was a demon movie with a zombie apocalypse rules.
Right.
You know, they tied in those two genres. I think demon, and I think, like, Ouija board gone wrong. I think possession. I think incantation. I think devil, hell kind of deal. There was no real, besides the whole Nostradamus cult kind of tie-in, there was no
but that
real
was only,
hell thing
that
with these
demons.
That wasn't
in their reality, though. That was only in the movie reality.
It was an infection movie that was very much like a zombie outbreak. You know, in zombies, the rule usually agreed upon is if you're bitten by one, you die. Unless you amputate in time, you will die. No matter how superficial it is, if their teeth break your skin, you're done. In this one, it was easier. But these things here, a fucking nick of you going by might be enough, and you're done.
Well, that's what started the infection, was just a nick.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, look, there's a body here. Give me a hand to throw her into the stall.
No, no, leave her alone. She's dead.
Get out the way.
She can't hurt anyone.
How the hell do you know she's really dead? And
no.
Ain't been transformed
no.
into a demon?
No.
She's
no.
Ratched, and you too.
No.
Come on,
no.
Give me a hand before it's too late.
And more questions. Who put that fucking mask there?
Well,
who set up this fucking
that's
movie?
That's what I thought. The way it was filmed, they kept setting up that the ticket taker was involved.
Oh, the
with
usher.
It.
Yeah.
The usher, the girl with really long hair.
Yeah.
They kept setting up like she was somehow involved with it, but obviously she's not because she ends up...
She was mortified right. Like everybody else. Yeah. She was on the run, and at the end she changed.
Yeah.
She kept giving all those sinister glances,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the sinister
so they were vilifying her a little bit.
You know, they held on her at the beginning when you're first introduced to her.
You got a lot of fucking questions and no answers, but you don't give a fuck because it's a wild
fun.
Ride.
Oh, yeah.
The scene where the guy gets knocked off the balcony and he kind of lands, his throat's cut, he lands on the seats right above that Hannah girl. And he's fucking just puking up fucking shit all over. That reminded me of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Very Evil Dead. The amount of gore and just the way it
there was
ebbed out of this body onto her as she's trying to get away. It's very Sam Raimi.
There was one problem with that afterwards, is that her clothing was not stained afterwards.
Yeah.
Not only is this film gory, but the diversity of the damage doled out to both human and demon is exceptional. There's something for everyone. Eyes being gouged out, brutal scalpings, fingers coming off, mangled hands, throat damage, decapitation.
And Helen's favorite, teeth.
Oh.
Did that bother you?
Yes, I cannot watch trauma to teeth.
Those were
I can't
teeth.
Do eyes.
Oh.
And this led to an interesting conversation. What kind of violence makes you squirm?
Paul B's got the eye trauma. Yep. You got the teeth thing. Brian, you got something?
Oh, hands.
Really?
Hand trauma bothers me. And I think it's because earlier in my life, I once got my hand caught in our front door by accident. Crushed my index finger, my one hand. And we're talking about an inch and a half thick wooden door closed all the way. And I had to ring the doorbell because my finger had caused the door to jam. And so thank God someone was home because my mom had to come and pry the door open from the other side. My finger was completely crushed.
Is that why the nails bothered you coming out from underneath these nails as well?
Nail trauma bugs me too because I've had nail problems before. I had to have an ingrown toenail removed once. And you ever seen a toe, like a nail completely removed?
You know, I can't. Don't talk to me about toes.
The worst part is when you got a clean advantage, you got to peel the gauze off the exposed nerve underneath. And it's like, it's dry too. It's like... Oh, it's horrible.
My sister just had surgery like that.
Oh,
she keeps trying to show it to me, and I won't look at it. She sends me a text with the picture up. I don't look at her texts anymore. I can't do it.
It looks weird.
Oh.
It does.
Have a gore text.
I finished. You know, this is me. I was 1 year old.
Already selling your twat, huh?
Fuck you!
Coke titties.
Coke titties.
Coke titties!
Yeah, very
that's going to be very popular, I think.
It's just Paul's two favorite things put together.
Yes. I'm always doing pounds and pounds of coke.
And tits.
I was like, it was funny.
The second part of that I absolutely love. Yes, I will freely admit it.
The one part that takes the biggest left turn for me is when they introduce what I'm going to call the B-cast, the coke fiends.
They needed a
coke
reason.
Titties.
They needed a reason to let one of the things out.
Well, in a way, if it's following dream logic, too, when the main plot gets really intense, they seem to almost retreat to the B plot. It's like, oh my god, they're putting up the barricades, people are being killed, and then they'll cut to the B plot. It's almost like subconsciously, we're trying to escape the theater, too.
Faster! You look like you're scared of breaking! Watch! Like this!
Because he was clearly the one person who was the most forceful. But his dying, I think, rather quickly was kind of reminded me of Deep Blue Sea, the Samuel Jackson moment.
You know how we were saying when he was gone, you were like, oh, fuck, that character's gone. We won't see him again. You saw him as the demon. You know, he was still prominent when he was dead, but he didn't have the mouth.
You know,
we didn't have the personality we loved.
Yeah. It's the same problem I had when Pig turned in Night of the Demons. Remember? Because he was the one that had all the excess of personality, but as soon as he became a demon... It was
Stooge.
Stooge, yeah.
He was dressed as a pig.
That's right.
Yeah.
But when he turned, it was like, oh, we missed him. We missed that character. Oh, yeah, it was the same thing here.
The scene of them going up the stairway when he puts his head up and his eyes are light.
Yeah.
And then the other ones start popping up and they ascend the stairway. That was classic. Like, beautifully shot, you know, like I couldn't imagine them doing that any better. The only thing I regret is that there wasn't more of them behind them.
You know what? Yeah. No, I'm kind of glad it was limited.
When all was said and done, there was only like maybe 6 or 7. Give me about 15, 20,
yeah.
And it would have been an epic scene.
This is another zero.
It's just walls!
Cut it out, Cheryl. You're not helping.
We always say we're a sucker for one setting movies, and this is a great example of that. When they actually break through a wall, it's to a tomb of nothing.
Oh, right.
It was like they were in Cube. No matter where they went, it was a fucking dead end, and it was unnatural.
As usual in a film like this, the extras go first. But what about when it's just the main characters left? And we have to watch them become the threat.
This place, where am I?
The only telegraph moment that went on too far for me was the transformation of the friend at the end. When she turns away, you see in the back of her head, she looks again, she's still like, you transform, turns away. That goes on a bit long.
The only thing that saves that scene is her disorientation.
When she's talking.
Which gives you a little bit of an idea of your mental state during that transition time and how long it takes.
Yeah.
Who are you?
And the look of the demons themselves was very evil.
White eyes, man.
No, I'm not talking. I'm just talking about the overall look, not specifically the white. I thought the eyes looked awesome, by the way, in this. But I just think the overall look of the demons themselves had that evil dead look to them.
I don't know. I can't agree, only because a deadite to me is a deadite. You know, like there's zombies, there's demons, there's something in between. There's a whole bunch of different manifestations of ghouls and goblins and demons or really nasty fucking humanoid things coming after you. But deadites to me have always seemed very unique. Their white eyes, the way they move, the cackling, everything. It's just, nothing is really, I'm trying to think of something that has come close. I don't think deadite when I watch these demons or anything else.
But these demons in particular, I think, reminded me more of Night of the Demons.
Like, quick, modern kind of demons, without the slapstick.
Right.
These demons were all business. None of them talked. They were mutes. They were just grunting, hulking beasts that want to kill you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, almost like they have no clue why they're there. They have no agenda, just to just be automated aggression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Night of the Demons had a hierarchy. Started with Angela, and everybody could talk or transform if they wanted to. Much different.
As soon as we saw that dirt bike in the lobby with the sword, you know that's going to come into play, and boy, does it ever.
You know, and I appreciate the energy of the motorcycle scene, but I think it goes on. It's a bit silly at times. Like, there are quite a few times there when he's pulling off stuff that is just not possible on a dirt bike, you know. And I don't know how many times he should have went ass over tea kettle. But, and the deaths were just kind of silly, mindless slashing after a while. And it just kind of, I think they were really kind of padding with that dirt bike scene.
Any padding filled with excessive gore is good fun in my book.
And like I said, I've seen this movie at least a dozen times, usually on VHS. I've seen it on DVD. I swear that this version was just Warrior. slightly more graphic than any other version I've seen. This, it was just like every kill scene went on for maybe 3 or 4 seconds longer.
The scene that I really noticed that is actually the film within the film, when the girl's getting killed in the cemetery. And it's just that much longer and it's that much...
Yeah, there was like 20 graphic. Stab wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see her legs are all bruised up and there's all slashes on her legs, and you didn't see that before. Or I don't remember before.
Great gore. Okay. And for me, this was a revelation. Watching this in high def and getting more gore.
Yeah.
When I found this movie, it never touted like director's cut or anything. It was just demons. I've seen this on television.
Yeah.
Edited. And it's horribly edited, just like every other movie would be. I've seen the rated R version that you had on VHS and DVD, and there was notably more gore. Notably. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense that this would not be in the movie. But now that I've seen this version, it was like the R version was edited. The violence in this went on for seconds longer.
I'm sure, if you looked it up online, that there would be
a alternative version,
a European edit versus this edit.
IMDb lists this movie at 88 minutes. The version we watched was 88 minutes, 36 seconds. So I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. Again, it had been a long time since I'd seen this movie. Demons has so much going on, we've probably mentioned about 10% of the reasons why you should check this one out. We didn't even get to the helicopter bit. It allows for an interesting homage to another zombie film that Dario Argento was involved with. Think Frankenzombie. Does that ring any bells? What about the guy handing out the tickets at the beginning of the movie? Does he come back? What's happening outside once the people finally escape? You're gonna have to watch it and find out.
Brian Stewart,
that was a lot of fun. That was, you had actually teed this one up for us, I think, during our last podcast. It was one of our possibilities.
Yes.
And you had said that once it got going, it didn't slow down, and you weren't lying.
Sit here and shut up.
Oh, Jesus, is what you call enjoying yourself?
Black humor.
Nude, score it.
I'm going to give it a solid 8. I enjoyed it. It was very, very entertaining. The gore was fantastic. Even the comic relief parts were really good. A bit cheesy at times, but I mean, you have to have that in any type of horror movie, I think. But yeah, very, very well done. Just as good as I remembered it.
Hey, George, you believe that shit?
Colby.
I'm going to give it a 9.
9!
Thought it was excellent. It's, you know, again, you're not going to watch Demons to be scared. It's not a movie that actually scares me, but it's definitely a fun ride.
Yeah.
Really, really good gore effects, considering that, you know, it probably didn't have much of a budget. It's got a great soundtrack. The performance is okay. Well, it goes back to the dubbing thing, whatever, that's fine. But otherwise, thought it was awesome.
A horror movie. I knew it.
Ryan Stewart.
You know, I always make it a point as much as possible to agree with the nefarious Paul B, because we differ on too many films. But when we both agree, it's usually for a good reason. And this movie definitely deserves a 9, I think. It is just nonstop fun. It never, ever lets up. And it has that wonderful nightmarish quality, the way it flows. Very rarely these days, and I think it's more that contrast we talk about, the difference between modern horror versus classic horror that we love so much, is that you wouldn't see a horror film today with this much energy, with this much drive and this much conviction, just going balls to the wall nuts with all of these ideas and just running with them. And I miss that. I miss that level of excitement and fun. And, it's a 9 for me.
What are you waiting for, you son of a bitch?
I'd give it 8.5. I was thoroughly impressed with the transfer.
Yes.
Some of the effects were cheesy, and I would say to the point that they would probably have been better if they left them out, but they didn't. Oh, well. The fact that it's one of those one-setting movies, it's nightmarish, it's a demons film with zombie apocalypse rules that melds together very well.
Yep.
And the sense of claustrophobia in the film, even though it allows you to breathe, It's like every so often, I have a breath of fresh air. There is a real world out there. Okay, we're back in here again. I love those one setting. I'm trapped, claustrophobic with these people, watching things unfold and just keep getting worse and worse and worse. It's a great formula. It's always worked. And this is a bright, shining light example of that done well.
And let us not forget, Coke titties.
Coke titties, yes.
Yes, it is.
What are you waiting for? Stop the movie!
Demons! Another fun gore flick from 1985, directed by Lamberto Bava, the son of famous giallo filmmaker Mario Bava. Demons is an Italian production, filmed in Deutschland, produced by Dario Argento and assisted by director Michael Suave, the guy who made Stage Fright and Della Morte Della Moria. Look for his cameo. And speaking of cameos, look for Giovanni Frezza, who played Little Bob in House by the Cemetery. Fortunately, his dubbing was done by another actor this time. You know what I'm saying. If you love gore, this flick is for you, because there's tons of it, in lots of different colors. Demons pays homage to several movies, including Creepshow, Nosferatu, Evil Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Terminator, the list goes on. It's an 88-minute claustrophobic, apocalyptic nightmare. No shit. We have Greta Greta and Bobby Rhodes, who play Tony the Pimp and Rosemary on Facebook. They're always interacting with their fans on there, still loving being part of this fantastic 80s flick. And if they're listening to this show, we fucking loved you. Make no mistake. Hopefully we catch them at an event sometime.
You ain't worth shit. Come on!
If you're anything like us, you're eagerly awaiting Halloween. Obviously, our favorite time of year. The House of Cash and Nude is already done up. We've got enough candy to kill several elephants and a bunch of people coming by to scare the hell out of any trick-or-treaters that dare to approach. We hope you have a great Festival of Samhain. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope you'll come back for the next one. And for the world-famous Brian Stewart, nefarious Paul B., and the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying trick-or-fucking-treat and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.